Bruce and Brother Dan and the New Life Bible Church singers sing that song. That's one of my favorites that they sing because, you know, Dan Wantuck is singing, "The light of the world is Jesus, and I once was blind, but now I see." Somebody told me this week, Pastor Dan Wantuck sees better than most. Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you. We're glad that you're here. And there is one very important thing we would want you to know about New Life Bible Church, especially if you are church shopping. Don't know if there's anyone here this morning that's church shopping, but last week there was. One thing you should know about New Life Bible Church is that we are a Bible church, a Bible church. We read the Bible. We study the Bible. We preach and teach the Bible. We even give counsel for every situation of life straight from the Bible. We are 100% committed to preaching and teaching the Bible, and for good reason. This is the living word of the living God. This is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes it, and this is the power of God unto sanctification, that is to change for the better, change in holiness for everyone who believes it. So we're a Bible church for your own good and for the good of everyone around you. And this is a good thing that we're a Bible church as long as you believe it. And if you do not, beware. Our text for this morning is John 12, verses 44 to 50. Title of the message this morning is, What Matters Most? What Matters Most? John 12, beginning at verse 44, this is the Word of God. And as always, I encourage you to follow along in your own Bibles and be good Bereans. And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into this world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings, and by the way, me and my is emphasized every time in this section. If anyone, verse 47. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Now, this is a great and powerful text of Scripture, but it is anything but easy to grasp. And so we're going to start simply. Hopefully, we'll get through the whole text today. We'll see. The easiest way to start anytime you have a difficult passage is to ask this question. What is it about? Every text of Scripture is about something important. God doesn't speak about trivialities. So what is this text of Scripture about? Well, it's clearly about two things, which are one thing. First, it's about believing in Jesus. Look at verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me. What's it about? It's about believing in Jesus. Verse 46. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me. Stop there. What's it about? It's about believing in Jesus. But it's also about his sayings, the sayings of Christ. Take a look down at verse 47. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them. Verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings. So what's it about? It's about believing in Jesus and receiving his sayings. Are those two different things? They are not. If you believe in Jesus, you receive his sayings. If you say you believe in Jesus, but you do not receive his sayings, you do not believe in Jesus. It's about believing in Jesus Christ and the gospel. But to be more specific, more precise, this is about the ultimate importance of doing both. It's about the ultimate importance of believing in Jesus Christ and receiving his sayings as authoritative above all else, above every other voice, above every other messenger, above every other book. And how important is that? Your eternal destiny depends upon it. There is nothing more important than this. This is what matters the most. And this is what so many people need to hear, because how many people are in the world today who are religious, but they are not on the road to heaven? Today's world population is estimated to be around 8 billion people. One quarter of the world's population, or about 2 billion, are Muslims. They adhere to Islam. Are they on the road to eternal life with God in heaven? They are not. Another quarter of the world's population, about 2 billion people, are either Buddhist, Hindu, or Chinese folk religion. Are they on the road to the kingdom of heaven? They are not. Another roughly one quarter of the world's population is made up of every other religion outside of Christianity. Judaism, Spiritism, Shintoism, Zoroastrianism, atheism, agnosticism, etc., which those are religions, by the way. Worship of self, humanism. Are these people headed for eternal life in heaven? They are not. That leaves roughly one quarter of the world's population who professes to be Christian. But even within those who profess to be Christian, how many are religious but not on the road to heaven? Many. And that is the context here. Here in John 12, 44 to 50, Jesus is speaking to the many who profess to believe in Jesus Christ, but in their deeds they deny him. Look at verse 42. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. That means they professed to believe in Jesus Christ, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him. You know what that says? They're not believers. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. They fail all the tests of 1 John for true faith. Because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, because they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. These people were clearly religious. They even are professing Christians, but they are not true believers. It is to these people who are in the churches today that Jesus Christ, in his grace, in his compassion, full of grace and truth, he speaks to them about believing in him and receiving his sayings as the one thing that will determine your eternal destiny. This is what matters most. The prevailing opinion, the prevailing deception among billions of people in the world today and thousands in Pueblo is this: you don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to receive what he says. That is the lie of the devil. The belief of people today is that there are other ways to God, or that you don't have to accept everything that Christ says. The truth is, what matters most in this life is believing in Jesus Christ and receiving his sayings. And to prove it, Jesus Christ gives five reasons why. Why is it that you must believe in Jesus Christ and receive what he says? Reason number one: it is because he who believes in Jesus believes in God, and I'm going to state it the way Jesus does. Verse 44, and Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes in God. That's what he's saying. by implication, he who does not believe in Jesus does not believe in God. Look at verse 44. It says, and Jesus cried out. That little conjunction is important. A couple weeks ago, I wasn't really clear if this connected exactly with what precedes, but it does. Jesus Christ here is responding to the error, the sin that he was seeing among the many. They were professing to believe in him, but they were not truly believing in him because they were rejecting his sayings. Jesus is speaking the truth that confronts error. He's applying the wisdom of Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5, which he did throughout his ministry. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. In other words, you don't go along with the fools and reject the word of God. Instead, answer a fool as his folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And you know what that means? You speak the truth that confronts error. That is biblical apologetics in a nutshell. You speak the truth that confronts the lie that people are already believing. That's what Jesus is doing here. But Jesus cried out in response to their error. And he cried out because that's what preachers do. Preachers are not soft-spoken. Preachers are heralds of the King. They say, thus saith the Lord. Preachers do not, they're not wishy-washy. He cried out and he said, he who believes in me does not believe in me as in does not believe merely in me, but in him who sent me. Now, who sent Jesus Christ into this world? God. God the Father. And what did God the Father send Jesus to do? To save. To save. 1 John 4:14, sparky verse. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And to that end, I've said it many times, I'll say it again. It was to that end that Jesus came the first time. It was to that end that he was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, sacrificed his life on the cross to pay the price for sin. It was to that end, the salvation of sinners, that Christ rose again, ascended into heaven, and is now seated at the right hand of God. It is to that end that Jesus speaks these words this morning. So many people then and now think that they can believe in God but reject Christ. That is the fatal flaw of every false religion. Think about it. Every member of every religion outside of Christianity, 3/4 of the world's population, and every person within the church who professes to believe in Jesus Christ but does not receive what he says is on the broad road that leads to destruction. That's your mission field, both outside and within the church. Even here in this place today, there are people who profess to believe in Jesus Christ, but in their deeds, they deny him. And so it is to them, first and foremost, that Jesus speaks to tell you what is most important of all, and that is that you believe in Jesus Christ and receive what he says. Why? Because he who believes in Jesus believes in God, and he who does not believe in Jesus does not believe in God. How many of you, like me, can remember a time when you were religious but you weren't saved? A lot of people. Okay, well, the truth is all of you were. Because all of us by nature are religious. Maybe you don't remember the time when. But all of us by nature are religious. I went to church in my youth. I called myself a Christian. I had a Bible. But I also had a wrestling buddy who always wanted to talk about Jesus. And I remember hating that. For some reason, which I did not understand at the time, I was okay talking about God. Oh, yeah, man. Somebody says, great sunrise. Oh, yeah, praise God. For some reason, I was cool with that. But he would always want to talk about Jesus, and I did not know at the time why that grated upon me. I later told him, I said, do you know that it angered me every time you'd want to talk to me about Jesus? It's because I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a believer. Now I know. And now I see that that's the way it is with many people. They're religious, but they are unregenerate. Religious, but unsaved. They've never been born again. What about you? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And do you receive what he says as your ultimate authority? Do you know how to tell? Look at your life. That's how you tell. Look at your life. What matters most to you? Is your faith in Jesus Christ really what matters most in your life? Reason number two. Reason number one, why do I say what matters most in life is believing in Jesus Christ and receiving what he says? Reason number one is because to believe in Jesus is to believe in God. Whoever believes in Jesus believes in God and no one else. Number two, second reason, it's because whoever sees Jesus sees God. Look at verse 45. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. What does see mean? Does it mean to literally see with your eyes? Not at all. This is not at all what Jesus means, because many people, including people in this context, were seeing Jesus with their literal eyes, but they didn't see God. The crowds earlier, Nicodemus saw Jesus, but he didn't see who Jesus really was. To see here means to perceive. Whoever gets me gets God. Whoever understands me understands God. Whoever perceives me perceives God. That's what Jesus Christ is saying here. And we speak that way all the time, don't we? We say, I just don't see it that way. I don't get it. That's what Christ is saying. And what he's saying is, he who perceives me, in other words, he who gets who I really am, the same understands God. And why is that? Why is it that only those who perceive Jesus perceive God? It's because Jesus Christ is God. Really, the doctrine of the Trinity is behind this. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. What about all those who don't see Jesus as God come in the flesh? They don't understand God. And how many people are like that, yet they profess to believe in God? Billions. Billions. Want to understand God? Look at Jesus Christ. You want to hear from God? Listen to Jesus Christ. You want to be with God? Be with Jesus Christ. You want to end up in heaven? Follow Jesus Christ. He is the only way to God. There is no other. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. There is salvation in no other, Acts 4:12. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. As one put it, whoever truly sees Christ with the eyes of faith beholds his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, sees the brightness of the Father himself, and sees the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Within that little quote is Hebrews 1 and Colossians 1 together. Turn over to John 14 just for a second. John 14, it's one page over probably. Verse 7, John 14, 7. Jesus speaking to his disciples, right? Right before he's crucified. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. You wonder what Philip is wanting him to do. Just like one more thing. Show us God the Father. Jesus said to him, with what kind of voice, I wonder, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. What is Jesus saying? He doesn't mean if you see me with your literal physical eyes, then you are seeing God with your literal physical eyes. What he means is if you perceive who I am, then you perceive the Father. If you see my attributes, you are seeing the attributes of the Father. And that is because Jesus Christ is one with the Father, one in essence, one in attributes, distinct person. Jesus is not the Father, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, distinct person, and yet completely equal with God the Father. This is why what matters most in life is believing in Jesus Christ and receiving what he says. It's because to believe in Jesus is to believe in God. And to understand Jesus is to understand God. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's nature, Hebrews 1. Way more than a mere prophet. And yet, that's how many see Jesus. Most of the world's religions, they will acknowledge that Jesus was a prophet. They do not get him. They do not understand him. Third reason. Why else? Why do I tell you that nothing matters more in life than believing in Jesus Christ and receiving his word? Reason number one is, he who believes in Jesus believes in God. Reason number two is, he who understands Jesus understands God. Reason number three is, he who believes in Jesus escapes darkness. Verse 46, I have come as light into this world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Again, the I and the me are emphasized. I have come as light. What does light mean here? Write it down. Light equals the ultimate revelation of God for man. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God for man. God reveals himself in the creation. True? Sure, God reveals himself in the creation, but that's not the ultimate revelation of God for men, which is why people that say, well, church for me is walking in the woods. No, it isn't. That's not church. Well, I see God in creation. Great, but if you don't see God in Jesus Christ, you don't see God. God reveals himself in other ways. He reveals himself in conscience. His law is written on every man's heart, but that's not the ultimate revelation of God for men. Now listen, God also revealed himself in many ways to the fathers by the prophets through Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, but that's not the ultimate revelation of God to mankind. Then came John the Baptist, the ultimate prophet, the greatest prophet of them all, according to Jesus. And here's what the Bible says. He, John the Baptist, came as a witness to testify of the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There is the true light who coming into the world enlightens every man. Jesus Christ is the true light, the ultimate revelation of God to all mankind. And why did he come? Verse 46, look at it. So that everyone, that's universal, without distinction, black, white, red, boy, girl, man, woman, rich, poor, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God who came into the world so that everyone who believes in him will not remain in darkness. The Bible speaks often and much about salvation. Salvation is the gospel in a nutshell. Salvation, right? That's the good news. But from what? From sin? Yes. From death? Yes. From hell? Yes. From this present evil age? Yes. But also from darkness. Darkness is a metaphor for ignorance. And by nature, because of sin, we are all born in sin and in darkness. And by nature, we do not know the truth about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, man, sin, salvation, heaven, and hell. You can know a lot of things. You could have a PhD or an MD, but you can be in the dark, according to God. Without Christ, men are in the dark about everything that matters. And you can have someone who's very religious, highly educated, even knows the scriptures well, but without Jesus, they're in the dark. Proof? Nicodemus, John chapter 3. The teacher of Israel, but because he had not been born again, he only saw Jesus as a man sent from God. Jesus is a million miles higher than that. This is why what matters most in life is believing in Jesus Christ and receiving what he says. And let me encourage you, if you're here this morning and you can say, I believe in Jesus Christ and I, by the grace of God, I receive everything that Jesus says as the authority in my life, and anyone, I welcome anyone to look at my life and they'll see it. If you can say that, rejoice. By the grace of God, you're saved. By the grace of God, you are doing what matters most in this life, despite anything else you might be doing. You're believing in Jesus Christ and receiving what he says as authoritative. Let that encourage you in your trial. Let that feed your soul when you're struggling to worship. You have and you are doing what matters most in life. Jesus Christ is the only way out of the darkness. And myriads of people in this world are religious, but in the dark, thinking they are in the light, but they don't want to come to the light. You know why? Why is it? Because their deeds are evil. Reason number four. Fourth reason why nothing matters more in life than believing in Jesus Christ and receiving his word. Here it is. It's because if you hear his word and reject it, then you now have what will judge you in the last day as a present possession. Like walking to hell with Bible in hand. You have the word of Christ. Look at verses 47 and 48. If anyone, again, universal, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them. Now, to keep is an Old Testament word for guarding what is precious. So there's a question. Do you guard God's word with your life? Would your life give evidence that you treasure the word of God? If I could look at your day timer and your checkbook, would it show that you treasure the word of God? Jesus says, if anyone hears my sayings and does not treasure them, does not guard them, does not keep them, I do not judge him. That's a profound statement. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But Jesus is not saying that that person will not be judged. He's promising that person will be judged. Verse 48, he who rejects me literally sets me aside. How many of you have ever handed someone a tract? By the way, it's not track. Tract. Yes, tract. You ever hand someone a gospel tract and they just go like this? That's the word here. To set aside, throw it. Yeah, they might not do it so gently. This, this, this. That's the word here. But notice what Jesus says. Whoever rejects me, whoever sets me aside, whoever goes like this to me, we're good. Whoever sets me aside, which means to set me aside is to consider me unworthy of trust and obedience. Whoever rejects me and does not receive my sayings, a reference to the gospel and all the doctrines of Christ, has, present tense, has as a present possession one or that which judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. Did Christ come to judge this world the first time? No, he did not. He came to save the world. To that end, I don't have to say it again. Lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death, rose from the dead the third day according to the scriptures, showed himself alive to countless witnesses over 40 days, ascended back into heaven. To the end of saving sinners, he did all that, and he's doing more besides. Praying now and speaking to you through this weak vessel. And even now, he's waiting until all of his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. But he's also saving eternally everyone who comes to God through him. No question about it. Jesus came not to judge this world, but to save. But does that mean the world will not be judged? Oh, no. It will be when Jesus comes again. But even before then, right now, what about all those people who profess to believe in Jesus Christ, but they are hypocrites in life, like those in this context? Jesus says, I don't judge you, but you possess what does. The word, the words of Jesus Christ that you have heard and you do not obey, those will judge you in the final day. And you say, well, what is that going to look like? I don't know, but I'll bet it will be something like this. Isn't it true that you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes. What did you do with it? And that will be enough. That will be enough. Again, that is like walking down the broad road that leads to destruction with a map to eternal life and casting it aside. But you have it. You cannot believe in Jesus Christ, but refuse what he says. You know, young people, do you think you can believe in Jesus Christ, but not honor your father and mother? You can't do that. No, if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, then your heart's desire is to honor your father and mother, even though we all stumble. You cannot believe in Jesus Christ but refuse his words. This is another error common in Christianity. Just, was it this past month? Very recently, the United Methodist Church has made a resolution. We will now accept LGBTQ, active LGBTQ people into the leadership of the church. You know what? That's the United Meth Church. Because you'd have to be on drugs to think that you could allow LGBTQ people into the clergy of your church when Jesus Christ speaks against every form of sexual immorality all the way through the Bible. One of the effects of meth is that you become delusional. And that is a delusion of our day and age. And rare are the believers in Jesus Christ who will boldly stand and speak out against LGBTQ because most of us are affected by it. Most of us have somebody in our family or relatives who is in that lifestyle. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you accept his sayings that those who practice that life will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, and you'll speak it. You'll speak that truth. So why is this the case, that everyone who rejects what Jesus says will be judged? Verse 49. For, and now Jesus Christ here is giving the reason for why it is that believing in him and accepting his words is the most important thing in all of life. And why it is that if you reject what Jesus says, you will be judged. Why is that? Here's why. And I'm going to sum it up for you. It is because Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God to mankind in order that you might be saved. You reject that, you will be lost forever. Notice what Jesus says. It's because I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself, that is God himself who sent me, has given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. That tells you that every single thing Jesus said, not only what he said, but how he said it, the word pictures that he used, the grammar that he used, the terms that he used, the tone of voice that he used, everything about it was straight from God. With no mixture of anything else. Now, you can't say this about any other prophet of God. Jesus says, he has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. In other words, Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation from God to man. Everything he said and how he said it was all of God, so you cannot not believe in Jesus. You cannot not receive his sayings and be okay. That's why believing in Jesus and receiving what he says is what matters most in life. Nothing is more important. Not your job, not your family, not your car, not your money, not your hobby, not your house, not your education, not your reputation, not your health, and not even your own life. So where are you with Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you confess him openly? Could I come to your workplace and ask 10 people, hey, do you know so-and-so? Is that person a believer in Jesus Christ? Would they say, oh, yeah? Probably like that, right? Denise used to put a bulletin board out here and say, if you were accused of being a believer in Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Where are you at with Jesus Christ? If you're here today and you do not believe in Jesus Christ, or if you're here today and you do not receive what Jesus says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to humble your heart before God and say, God, forgive me. And you know what? He'll save you. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but there is an end to his long-suffering. This text is the last time Jesus spoke publicly to the Jews. After this, he was done. After this, as some say, the light went out. He went and hid himself and did not speak to them anymore. After this, he went and spoke only to his disciples. And I tell you the truth, there is a day that none of us knows where if you test God and you try his patience, and you keep hardening your heart, God can harden your heart such that there's no more hope for you. You never want to do that. Don't harden your heart today. Don't do it today. Don't stiffen your neck. He who stiffens his neck after much rebuke will suddenly have his neck broken, and that beyond all remedy. Proverbs 29:1. Today's the day. Humble your heart. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He'll save you. But if you're here today and you believe in Jesus Christ, oh, praise God. You have what matters most. You have eternal life. You're doing what matters most, believing in Jesus Christ and receiving his sayings, and you're going where matters most, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord if you have the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your passion to proclaim the gospel to sinners. Thank you for giving that passion to us. And Father, I pray if there's anyone in this house of yours today that doesn't have Christ, may today be the day of salvation. And for all who are your children, encourage our hearts today, Father, and help us by your word and by your spirit to keep growing in likeness to Christ until he comes again. In Jesus' name, amen.